Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. There you go. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. By the way, today's quote of the day from Sarah Dillon. Everyone secretly loves throwing up. End quote. It is true. It's five, except for me. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. I will do almost anything to avoid throwing up. Almost. Thank you. And welcome to the lunch hour.
I don't like it.
No, I am trying to remember the last time that I actually threw up, and it was, I think literally it was in grade school. I think it was in like sixth or seventh grade the last time I threw up. And it was just because I will do any, I will, if I get an upset stomach, you know, I get sick because out in the sun too much or whatever it is, or your stomach gets all churning, I'll do that. Like, I'll totally be all like, what's her name? Regan in The Exorcist. I'll just lay in the bed, just totally focus, turn off the lights, you know, find a fixed point in space, find my inner chakra.
You never had food poisoning, then?
No, no. See, no,
that is the worst.
And I've had, I mean, I don't think I've ever had actual food poisoning, but I mean, I've had, yeah, where it's like you just jam way too much stuff into your stomach, or you... here's a horrible story, and then we'll go to the news. Because the thing one time where it was two things. I ate way too much, overfilled myself. I didn't remember what it was. It was just like, you know, it might have been around the holidays. It was like turkey and then a bunch of dessert and whatever. And I don't typically overeat, but it's that thing where your brain doesn't register the amount of food until 10 minutes after you put it into your body. And so I'm just like, you know, and then about 10 minutes later, you kind of go, oh, no, I've made a terrible mistake. And then suddenly you're just all, and so here's me, here's my logic. I know, I'll get some milk out of the fridge and that'll settle my stomach and whatever. So I pour myself the glass of milk, put about half of it down, and then the taste sets in and you realize you've just consumed half a glass of bad milk.
That was...
bad sour milk?
Yep, I bought a carton of milk a few weeks ago. It didn't expire. Oh, because when I eat pizza, I like having milk.
That's weird.
It's just a thing.
All right, no, fair enough. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I got an unopened thing that didn't say that it was expired for like a week, and it's that Clorox taste. You know when milk is bad? Like you take that sip, oh, it came right out. I threw it right up.
Really?
Like, mm-hmm.
Not like a spit, but like a...
Yeah, I ran to the bathroom and, yeah. Jesus. Why are we talking about this?
Because it's relatable. It is relatable Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A report is swirling around the internet that Tom Hanks died this morning after falling off a cliff in New Zealand. It is a bogus report.
Oh, I mean, hurrah.
Apparently, an official with the Interpol, the police in Wellington, New Zealand, confirms that no report of an accidental death has been taken, and they are certain that no such incident occurred.
This is like that, who was that guy? Was it Will Ferrell? When the first week we were on, it was, Will Ferrell's dead.
Yep.
And so he's not?
He's not.
All right, well, that's sad. I mean, it's not sad, but I mean... You know what I'm saying? I always, and I think we can all agree here, we all get a little excited when celebrities die. Or even we've heard that celebrities have died. I could be all, you know, above it and claim that that's not the case, but it is the case. Whenever some sort of, you know, blah, 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 killed in car crash, your first thought is, yeah, snuff watch for today. I remember, it's just...
You, my friend.
No, you are, you...
I don't get excited, I get sad.
You don't get sad. You get a little broadcasting thrill whenever you see that someone famous has died. I know you do. What is your startup page on your computer? When you log, unless it's something inappropriate.
Oh, no. Yes, it's my daily porn.
HotAsianSluts.com.
Yeah. No, it's just Google.
All right.
Well, what do I look at first?
Because for me, it's Yahoo. And you go to Yahoo.com, and there's all the whatever, the mail and the weather and the whatever. And then there's that news box right in the middle where it lists five headlines for the day. And so
you're always praying for the dying?
I don't pray for the dying, because that would be wrong and sacrilegious. And it would probably incur the wrath of our Lord Jesus. I'm simply saying that when I go to Yahoo every morning and I scan the headlines... So there is, you know, you'll see this. Blank, 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 dies at 55. Your noted blank dies at 78. And you always going to go, err. You know, it's just a little... I'm not alone. I'm not even in a Deadpool, and I find it thrilling. It's exciting when celebrities die. I'll say it. And I don't think that makes me a bad person. I think I'm merely saying what we all feel, but that only I will say aloud.
Well, it's exciting when Joe Schmo jumps off the Paramount and dies, too.
It really is. There you go. Here's Tim Riley.
House Democrats have formally tapped California Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi as their candidate to become the next Speaker of the House. The move was widely expected.
Everyone is very excited about the thought that I am the first woman Speaker. I'm just absolutely delighted that we have a Democratic Speaker and a Democratic majority in the House of Representatives.
This is forced wooden clapping. We all wish we had gotten the job.
Shortly after House Democrats tapped Pelosi as the next Speaker of the House, she lost her first leadership test. They chose veteran Maryland Congressman Steny Hoyer as the next House Majority Leader as they take over Congress in January. She had backed Jack Murtha in a tight and bitter contest against Hoyer. Emerging from a closed caucus, Pelosi offered congratulations to Hoyer.
Look forward to working with him in a very unified way to bring our country to a new direction for all Americans, not just the privileged few. We've had our differences in our party. We have come together.
New direction. Fantastic. Thank you.
Now, Pelosi explained she backed Murtha principally because of his strong opposition to the ongoing war in Iraq.
It is a grotesque mistake. It is costing lives, limbs, cost in dollars, reputation in the world, cost to our military, and I promise that I would do everything possible to end it.
By the way, okay, so there we go. I'm going to flag this so I can take out that new direction clip in the... All right, there you go.
All right. Hoyer played down differences with Pelosi.
For the last 4 years, Nancy Pelosi and I have worked hand in glove, closely together, to effect unity. Not unity for unity's sake, but unity for the purposes of standing up for the principles and values we think are important for our country.
There you go. And by the way, Dan has re-emailed, and he said, this is Dan who suggested Lisa Emerson, which I then got tagged for the creepiness of. Thank you very much. Thanks, Dan. All Dans are now my sworn enemy. Rick, my email said... Oh, he's clarifying. He's saying I read the email incorrectly. Rick, my email said, quote, Lisa's new name should be Lisa Emerson, end quote. But when you read it, you changed it, and you changed it to, Lisa's new name should clearly be Lisa Emerson. You inserted the word clearly on your own. This is obviously a Freudian slip. And then he signed that I, too, have not thrown up since the mid-1980s. There you go. That's Dan. Here's one final thing about spoiled milk. The real terrible thing about it is... Are you eating?
Uh-huh.
Okay. The real bad thing about it is that unless you actually smell the milk beforehand, which I typically do...
Me too.
Really? Now, let me ask...
I didn't think I had to.
Now,
because
the dates, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, exactly. Do you do this too?
And I got a couple sips in because I was so thirsty before I realized it.
See, this is like... Everybody's got this sort of the mental Achilles heel like that. Because this is like Aaron and the hair... You know, because Aaron Geek in the City, speaking of which, and this is a completely true story, as I'm eating my sandwich this morning, you know, it really does actually amaze you that your sense of touch is that sophisticated that your tongue can discern that somewhere inside a ham sandwich is a piece of hair. You know what I mean? That's a lot of them. You get your cheese, you got your spinach, you got your bread, you got your ham. And a hair is very small. You imagine that's it is literally almost microscopic. And yet... And then you do this.
Hairs don't bother me.
What?
If they're in my food, I'll just like
you
take it out.
You can power it down?
Totally. It's the hair. I paid $5 for the sandwich.
It's wrong. No, the thing about the milk is you'll get like all...
No, I mean, I'll take the hair out and then...
I thought you just meant like...
No.
I'm halfway through it. I thought it was... Sort of...
No, I'll just take it out and pretend it didn't exist.
More protein. I see, the thing about milk is, and I compulsively shake the milk too before I open it, for reasons that I now that I'm saying it out loud, can't really explain. But when I, like, if I have a gallon of milk, I'll make the cap is on, and I'll take it out and shake it up before I pour it.
I once had a hairball in my milk.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
A hairball?
I think it was a hairball.
Like a cat hairball?
It was like this gray, furry thing. It was like about the size of a dime. I don't know. I just dumped it down the sink.
Now, was this milk that you had just opened?
It was milk that I'd opened. I had been drinking out of the glass and then set it down. I saw this. It was like a clear glass, and I saw it on the side of the... I never knew what it was. I threw out the milk. I didn't drink milk.
See, that's the thing where you got to call Clyde. You got to get like some cryptozoology to the guy over there.
No, because I had already drank
half the glass.
Because
you don't want to know what it is.
I did not want to know what it was.
Because you didn't want to know if it was like a ball of cockroach eggs.
Or like half a mouse or something.
Let's now have a series of calls about what that might have been that Sarah inadvertently drank. what was marinating inside your milk?
It was gray and ball-like.
Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Meanwhile, Hollywood couple Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes' big day is almost here. The pair is expected to tie the knot this Saturday in Italy. Actress Rita Wilson, who has been married to Oscar winner Tom Hanks for 18 years, says she hopes the Cruise-Holmes wedding goes well.
Oh, I wish them all the best. Good luck, and I hope they have a calm, peaceful wedding.
Tom Hanks' wife.
Oh, Rita Wilson?
Yeah. Oh, I wish them all the best. Good luck, and I hope they have a calm, peaceful wedding.
Tom Hanks' 500-year-old wife. She is hot, though. And you know what I can never find, and I have looked, is photos of Rita Wilson from back when she, I mean, it's not that she's very old, but I mean, she is an older woman. I've always wanted to see what she looked like when she was about 22, 23, because she's really attractive now, even as, I would guess she's in her 50s. And even as a woman in her early 50s, she's very attractive. I would like to know what she looked like when she was about half that age. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Here is Tim Riley.
Well, the new PlayStation 3 game system about to go on sale. Some avid gamers have been lined up outside electronic stores for days now just to be at the front of the line. Seth Kettleman has been camped outside of Circuit City since Tuesday morning. He says the new PS3 is well worth it, despite a hit to his personal hygiene.
Not bad now. A couple hours. Might get a little grungy. Brush my teeth here soon.
Okay. There you go.
Tim Toth explains his obsession.
Tim Toth?
To make money. Sell on eBay.
Okay. So this is... It comes out when? It comes out tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
All right. So,
all the geeks had to sit out in the rain and wind yesterday.
Yeah, well, and I don't even know. I'm presuming there are geeks in line somewhere here in Portland, but I don't even know where that. I don't even know where that might have been. I don't even know where they would be.
There's
where
a Best Buy on 82nd.
Are there geeks camped out there? Do we know?
I don't know.
Because
that's where I would think they would be, though.
They could be camped out at Fry's too. They could be camped out at Best Buy. They'd be camped out at Fry's because I don't think they're set. You can't and. They're probably selling it at, like, whatever that EB or electronics boutique or whatever that store is in the mall, but I think you can't camp out there. So it would have to be somewhere where you could stay all night, where you could camp out. So that means, like, a Best Buy or Fred Meyer or Fry's. We're going to talk to Ed McCarthy about this later on. And, they're doing that same thing where it's not reverse compatible with everything, and, like, it doesn't play a bunch of the games that came out of the previous PlayStations. It's like with the Xbox 360, which I've resisted. But I saw the preview the other day for Halo 3, which is clearly going to be the greatest video game in the history of all of civilized man, and I'm then going to be obliged to buy the Xbox 360 just so I can play it. All right. We've received a response from Aaron, by the way. He says, Rick, I was about to go to lunch. Now, not so much. I was going to write about, well, I can't remember, but good Christ, Sarah, you are a terrible person. By the way, maybe you drank a rancid tonsil that was floating in your milk. There you go. Think about that one, he says. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, yesterday was National Thaw Your Turkey Day. And in case you missed it, Nicole Johnson of the Butterball Turkey Talk Line says, well, there's still hope for you today if you missed yesterday.
You know, we get a lot of phone calls the day before Thanksgiving or even the day of, and just that they're panicking because they forgot to start the thawing process in the refrigerator. We tell them not to panic. They can speed their thawing process by placing the turkey in a cold water bath. And that usually takes about a half hour.
No
per
one's
pound.
Panicking. This is completely made up. This is a fabricated story. There is no one out there panicking about thawing their turkey. It's a week and a half away.
A study conducted by Cincinnati's Children's Hospital draws a link between vicious breeds of dogs and owners with criminal backgrounds. Dr. Barbara Boat says 30% of people who own high-risk dog breeds have at least 5 criminal convictions.
They were 14 times more likely to be convicted of a crime involving alcohol, 9 times more likely to be convicted of a crime involving children, 7.5 times more likely to be convicted of a crime involving drugs, 3 times more likely to be convicted of a crime involving domestic violence.
I swear to God, here on the screen it says Dr. Boat, but I wasn't looking real closely and I thought it was Dr. Borat.
Oh.
And I was just, pleased now to be taking off your clothes and making with the legs spreading.
Dr. Boat said the connection between vicious dogs and criminal convictions is a marker of increased deviant behavior.
Come on.
It might be an alcohol-related conviction, and then another one might be, you know, a domestic violence conviction or a firearms conviction. So it was not only that they had more convictions, but they were in a wider range of, as we would say, more antisocial behavior.
I'm speaking really quietly for no reason. Here's the other thing. Before we'll take a couple calls, and we'll continue with Tim here. I just have to say this one thing, though, about milk. And I can tell you from whence this thing about rancid milk derives. It's because when you're a kid, one of the most frustrating things about being a kid is that adults and parents, A, they never listen to you, and B, when they do listen to you, so often they don't believe you. It is what I call the snuffleupagus syndrome, where you will claim something to you, but you will be telling the truth, and they will just dismiss out of hand whatever it is that you're saying. For instance, do you ever notice this? When you're a kid and you're eating some vile concoction that your mother has made up in the kitchen, they never believe that the food actually is terrible. When you're like, your mom would make some gruel and she'd come out and shovel it onto the plate, and God love you, Mom, but my dad was even worse, but they would just make some sort of swill in the kitchen and come out, ladle it onto your plate, and I would get like 3 forkfuls into the food, and just like I would get the gag reflex that would kick in every so often where your body is just rejecting whatever it is you're trying to eat. What's this? Well, it's you know, it's beets that have been marinated inside a piece of liver. Have some, you know, and just, well, I don't want to have some. Eat it now. And then this. How many times growing up did I get told that I was going to, quote, learn to like something? Anything you have to learn to like is something you should just skip and move on to something. Life is too short. I guess I could learn to like, I don't know, having a baseball bat taken to my junk. But, I got a life to live. I'm going to move on. So my parents would serve me things, and I would open the mouth, and I would put the food in, and I would say, this is terrible. You'll like it. Eat it. Well, I don't. You'll learn to like it. Well, it's awful, Mom. No, it's not. Eat it. And this all reached its apotheosis, its apogee. One night, I was about 8, 9 years old. My mom was going around the table with whatever, the bread and the potatoes and whatever it is we're eating that night, some sort of meaty thing, you know, and then she pours us all the glass of milk, and I'm drinking the glass of milk, and I can tell there's something wrong with it. My brother can tell there's something wrong with it. And I'm going, Mom, this milk tastes weird. Just shut up and drink it. You need bones, you know, or whatever reason. Your teeth need it. And whatever fiction they had told my mom about milk being good for you. And so I'm drinking, and every time, you know, I would put it down, I would just sort of have that aftertaste in your mouth. You know something is really wrong with it. All this time, my mom, not drinking the milk because she's busy doing whatever. She's drinking coffee. She's eating dinner. Finally, about halfway through the meal, after my mom berating us to drink our milk and to quit our complaining, she finally picks up her glass of milk, goes to drink it, and it really was the best of moments, worst of moments, because you realize that you were not just hallucinating this, because she got the best look on her face. And it was a look as though, it was the look that I describe as though you'd bitten into an apple and found half a worm. That's kind of the look. And she kind of took the milk back, and she looked at it, and she sort of went a little bit, and then she took her glass over to the sink and poured it out, and I swear to God, it was chunky. It was like, you know what it was? Here's what it looked like, Sarah. It was like milk.
I don't want to hear this anymore.
No, I have to say this. It was like milk jello. The milk didn't so much pour as it sort of tumbled out of the glass end over end.
I know what you're talking about. Whenever I've moved out of apartments, when I lived on my own before I had roommates, I would always leave like bowls of cereal out for like, you know, week. And that's exactly, I would get the milk jello too. It would just completely cut up.
It just congeals.
And be like bowl shaped as it goes into the garbage.
Good times. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Whitney Houston's New Jersey mansion is expected to be auctioned off in a sheriff's sale because of unpaid mortgages and back taxes. Published reports say she's more than $1 million behind in taxes and has not paid this year. The report said the estate comprises 2 lots and the sale would be of the lot assessed at $899,300. The adjacent lot is valued at more than $5.6 million. Houston bought the properties in 1987 for $2.7 million. The sale is slated for January 4th. Whitney now resides in Los Angeles. She filed... Why am I hearing this weird sound in my headphones?
Hello? Are you hearing a weird sound?
It's only when I talk. She filed a divorce... Some cyborg-type sound. She filed for divorce in September from her husband of 14 years, Bobby Brown.
Kill. Say you love Satan.
Is it gone?
It's gone, except when I talk.
Kill.
All right. So I'll just speak less. It's 503-733-2. 970. You know what they ought to do with the Whitney Houston thing? Whitney and Michael Jackson ought to make a single together. Like when R. Kelly and Jay-Z did that thing. There ought to be a Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson single. You write that down. That's a great idea. Let's take one call. Then we'll take a break, see if we can get the handle on what's going on with Tim's headphones. We'll come back to the rest of these calls on the other side. When we come back, somebody has an answer about the PS3 thing. And we have a food poisoning call. But first, Alex, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Yes, hello.
Hey.
I'm calling about what might have been in Sarah Dillon's milk.
God bless you, sir. So Sarah Dillon, how long ago was this?
It was a really long time ago. It was probably like 2.5 years ago.
All right. So Sarah had, it was consuming some milk. And then she realized that, in her words, there was something gray and round and squishy floating in the milk.
I didn't get a good look at it, but it was up against the side of
before
the glass.
It swam
and it
away.
Looked like it was something of substance.
Well, I was just thinking about, like, if you ever seen on TV or the videos, they're always wearing, and people in dairy places, they're always wearing those white suits, and I just got this picture of some guy that just gets a random strand of string off of his suit, and he's just spinning around with it in his little white glove, and just randomly inserts it in, into that this white train of milk with no cap, you know, just...
I can see that, or maybe it's like one of those threads from your suit that you have in the corner of your pocket, and
right.
It just gathers
like
up
little lint balls,
literally bigger and bigger over time. And then the worst part is it would be mixed in, of course, with hairs from his head
right.
and body.
Do those suits have pockets? I mean, he had to put it somewhere, and he probably just thought it would have just tremendously funny to just throw it right in. You know?
And I agree, it was indeed tremendously funny. Oh. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, fellow.
All right, there you go, Alex. And there we go. It's 503-733-2970. We come back with Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Nick tells us about the PlayStation 3. Dave tells us about food poisoning. And we do the high concept email later on as well. 503-733-2970. Still on the way. News that hurts and crap you didn't know you could eat. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. I should apologize to Lisa Goddard for the Lisa Emerson thing, which wasn't even my email.
You should just let it go.
Never bring it up again.
Just don't bring it up. Don't draw attention to it.
Just gloss over it. Like when you accidentally end a business call with I love you. You ever done that? Me either. 503-733-2970.
Oh, people can't see the looks that I give you. It's just silent.
Yeah. A man accidentally ends a business call with I love you. From the Onion News Desk, I'm Doyle Redlin. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Is it raining outside?
No, I'm just looking at Smokey. He's having a heck of a time on the phone over there.
Okay. What else do we have here? We'll get Tim Riley. Tim Riley returns to the Rick. Thank you, Scotty. Scotty is weighing in that I should also. It was just an email. I didn't say it. A guy emailed it in. I said it.
I think it was the way that you're so desperately trying to work it in, sandwich it in right in the middle of all the names that kind of made
just,
it seem kind of creepy.
I was reading the emails in order.
That's why you couldn't find it. That's why you're like, oh, wait, hang on. Let me find that email again, because it sounded you're just like suggesting it out of nowhere when the email isn't even in front of you.
Oh. I did preface
Creepy.
it. I did preface it by saying that this is the listener's suggestion, not mine. Moving on. Let's see. We got some calls here. Then we got the Tim Riley returning in a moment. Here's Nick here on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey. Good afternoon.
What's up?
I called Fred Meyers. I was on the whole PS3 deal, and the lines start forming at 11 o'clock tonight. At 6 a.m., the store managers will come out and pass out these tickets to the first few people in line.
Right.
Saying that you have now one reserved one.
And so, so what happens if you try to get in line before 11 o'clock? Do they come and they clear the riffraff away or something?
You can stand there as long as you. I live in Newburgh, and there's already people out front of Fred Meyer's just waiting.
Yeah, because I got somebody. Let's see, where's the email? So it's Rick. Where the hell did it go? I was at Mall 205 Target last night. There was a dozen or so people waiting in the cold November rain. It took me a second to realize why could possibly be doing such a thing. The front page story in the Oregonian today, this is true, is about people waiting in line at the Airport Way Best Buy. So apparently the line has already started. How much did the PlayStation 3 even cost?
I don't they're $600 if you want the Blu-ray,
ugh,
high definition Blu-ray, and they're $400 or $500 if you don't want the Blu-ray.
God almighty.
I was going to buy one just so I could sell it on eBay for $2,000.
Fantastic.
Only reason why I'd stand out in the rain for one.
We don't have time to do it here in the news hour, but I got a whole. I really am curious about this whole Blu-ray thing. I don't have time to talk about it here, but we'll get to it next hour. All right, thank you, sir. There you go. It's Nick. It's 503-733-2970. Mark, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
Hey, I was heading west on 26. What was it last week? Talking about yakking. And when you talked about your grandmother with that spittoon.
Yeah. Those were good stories.
There was a couple of dry heaves. But it was fantastic.
Wait, so this program actually made you dry heave?
It did.
All right,
I rarely do that.
Really? Well,
but I did. Listening to Grandma slurping down the one shot.
No, see, in case you want to repeat the story. Now, here's the thing. So it was my grandmother told me this story. My grandmother was a barmaid. At a place called, it can be kind of confusing because it was called My Place. That was the name of the bar. And it was a bar in Silverton, Oregon. It's no longer there. It's now like, I think it's a coffee shop or something now. There's a bar called My Place in Silverton. My grandmother was a barmaid, and there was a guy who would bet another guy $10 that he would not take a swig out of a spittoon. And it was not a huge, I don't think it was a huge, like, industrial-sized spittoon. I think it may have been on the smaller side. But the guy didn't just take a swig. He drank the whole thing. Because, as he put it, it's all connected in there. There you go. Thank you, sir. That's Mark. All right. The Rick Emerson Show affects not only your mind, but your actual bodily functions. It's 503-733-2970. In about 10 seconds here, Tim Riley will rejoin us. We will resume the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Later on, Jim Roop's going to talk to us about O.J. Simpson, etc. It's 503-733-2970. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. We're going to take a...
Have we found new headphones for you?
What's that?
Are those the same headphones or the new ones?
These are the same ones.
Scotty was supposed to be tracking down headphones for
you. These should be okay.
All right. Scotty, please now to be...
All right. No, I can live with these.
All right, okay.
So we're going to redo A here.
Bank A.
Yeah.
All right.
The Bank A.
I am ready.
Talk about Sony's PlayStation 3 that is hitting the stores. Editor-in-chief of PSN, the independent PlayStation magazine, Chris Slate, shares the biggest differences between the new PlayStation 3 and its predecessor, the PlayStation 2.
They place the Blu-ray and no one else does. And also because the games come on the Blu-ray format, which has much, much more storage space on it than DVD, you can theoretically make much bigger games that have more complex levels.
All right. So, I'm not going to get bogged out on that right here, but maybe next hour we'll have somebody call up and give us the definitive thing about the Blu-ray, because it's all very confusing.
Chris Late says that even though Sony will likely have PlayStation 3 shortages for its launch, the company doesn't want to miss this holiday shopping season.
Even if it's more of a test market launch, basically, at this point, than a real full nationwide rollout with enough units, they would hate missing another Christmas season. They've put so much into the development costs of getting this system out there that they want to have it released in this fiscal year.
We've got this. Geeks are camping out at Circuit City and near the airport and Fry's. Here's the problem, though, this email says. Sony only made 400,000 copies of the PS3. Most stores, he says, only get 14 of them.
Oh.
Even people who have paid in advance are not guaranteed a PS3. Just wait until the price drops in March. By the way, it's the Xbox 360 you're thinking about that is not backwards compatible. The PS3 is backward compatible for both PSX and PS2 games. Not that it matters, because it costs $600. So there you go. I don't know. Yahoo this morning was saying that the PS3, that it claimed that it was backward compatible. But that depending on the games you had, you might stick it in there and get a whole lot of nothing for your trouble. Here's Tim Riley.
Nintendo's new Wii, which is out now, apparently, has more of a broad appeal than the PlayStation 3, according to this fellow.
They're going to have games that are really easy for people to get into and really appeal to people like, kids and my... And even my father-in-law.
Here's the thing, and this, Aaron and I were talking about this. This is how they can make the Nintendo Wii attractive to it. Because Nintendo tends to be more of a family gaming system, and it tends to be for the younger set. And their games are not as sort of edgy as like that. And that was that big split that happened in around 1990, where Nintendo became... And it, It's a little thing that nobody really cares about, but that I will tell you about anyway. It all came down to a time called, and Sarah's probably not old enough to really remember this, but there was a day called Mortal Monday. And Mortal Monday was in 1994. Mortal Monday was the day that Mortal Kombat was released for the home. And Mortal Kombat at that time was a revolutionary video game. And it was people who didn't play Mortal Kombat in the arcade don't really remember how big of a game it was. It was huge. It was not as big as like Pac-Man, but it was a massive game. It really was a before and after. It was a dividing line. And when it came up for the home system, it was all defined by this. The distinguishing characteristic of Mortal Kombat is that when you killed a guy, you could do a fatality. And for example, you could rip out a guy's still beating heart and hold it aloft in front of him while his bloody body fell to the ground. You could also yank out a guy's spine. That was fun, too. And so when the game came home, though, on the Sega, you could continue to do all of these finishing moves. On the Nintendo, they removed them all, and they were the thing that made the game great. They were the thing that everybody remembered. It was like Kiss without the makeup. Mortal Kombat without finishing moves was no Mortal Kombat at all, because Nintendo wanted to stake out this high ground morally of being for the families and the blah, 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 blah. What was my point? Yeah, Sega, Nintendo. Oh, so here's... And so all of the hardcore geeks drifted away from Nintendo at that point. Here's how they could bring us back, though. And Aaron pointed this out. Because the Nintendo Wii has this great handheld controller that is motion-sensitive. So if you're playing baseball, you just hold the controller in your hand, you swing it, and the bat on the screen swings. If they can do that with a Star Wars game and make it a virtual lightsaber duel where you're holding the thing in your hand, I'm there. That's all they need to do. And I'm sure Lucas is already working on it. We're not saying anything he doesn't already know. I'm just saying, to use that Nintendo Wii controller to create some sort of a Jedi Academy game, bam, you get $600 of Rick Emerson's dollars. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for a Britney watch.
Here's your Britney watch for Thursday. The Rick Emerson.
I think I did it again.
Well, Kevin Federline wants Britney Spears back. It appears that the fledging rapper has realized that he made a tragic mistake and wishes to reunite with his newly slimmed down, soon-to-be ex-wife, and is desperate to get Britney back.
I've made a terrible mistake.
Britney is reportedly home in Louisiana right now, and Federline is on some sort of a tour. Nevertheless, K-Fed is said to be willing to do anything to get Britney back. A report in AZ Central says, Kevin spent last night begging Britney to take him back. Kevin is stunned, and he's been crying. He said he would do anything to get Britney back. He knows he's nothing if he doesn't have her in his life and realizes he made a terrible mistake.
I made a terrible mistake.
The source added he sent flowers and chocolates to Britney, she asked an assistant to put them somewhere where she doesn't have to look at them. He also left voice messages saying her love poems, but Britney hasn't replied.
Oh, imagine a love poem written by Kevin Federline. Oh, God. Shall I compare your ass to a Summers thing? I love the image, by the way, of him sending... who sends flowers and candy? It's 2000... You're not... Is that like right before you go to the Water Buffalo Lodge? No one sends flowers and candy. I do love the idea, though, that she gets those and immediately just has them given to some homeless guy out on the street. And let me just say this as a final note. And guys, you know this to be true, and Sarah knows this to be true. No man ever got... As Leonard Cohen once said... A man never got a woman back by begging on his knees. You don't ever get a woman back by crying. Crying doesn't work, all right? When women say they want you to be sensitive, that doesn't mean they want you to weep like a small child. If you want to guarantee that you will never, ever, ever get a woman back, call her up and cry like a little girl. You will be put on the cell phone blacklist so fast. I mean, am I right?
I found the same thing with guys, too. Crying doesn't work.
Crying, you just look like...
Yeah.
You just look like a wimp. I mean, it's just no... That's it, man. It's not going to work. So,
Yeah, that's you're totally right about the guy crying thing.
It's true. I mean, they like...
Unless it's for... You know, like,
unless it's for somebody, not you.
Yeah. Like if they're upset about something, you know, that has happened.
If you're crying about a horse that's been with you on the trail, you rid it while you were prospecting and fighting off savages, and then the horse dies protecting you, that's fine. Cry for that. Cry for your dog? Fine. Cry for your mom? Fine. Cry because, whatever. I don't know. Cry because they took grape Pop-Tarts off the market? Fine. You call up, baby, just take me back in the minute. In her head, she's already making a list of other guys she's going to go out with and the girlfriend she's going to call to relate their exciting sex life to. So just so you, that's a little word to the wise, friend, from me to you. These are things that Rick Emerson has learned on the road of life. It's a hard highway, long horizon, no turning back. I'm sorry, Tim Riley.
Brittany says one of the perks of their breakup is getting her beautiful house back. Her stuff, stuff has always been messing everything up. Who wrote this?
I don't know.
It says, I'm sorry. His stuff has always been messing everything up, littering the house with CDs, ashtrays, nicotine-smelling clothes, and men's magazines.
And men's magazines.
It has all been taken away now, and there's no sign he ever lived there.
Fantastic. Excellent. Completely expunged. All right, there you go. There's your Britney watch for Thursday. Thank you.
Before you go, there's something I want you to have.
See, my problem is this.
And you would think that Kevin Federline... Sorry, you would think that Kevin Federline would know that because he's all about being hard, right? He's all about being a player. You cry, you look like a pussy.
Did you hear about Justin Timberlake's song about Britney?
Oh.
I guess, because... Did they broke up because she cheated on him?
Well, that was
the rumor.
According to the video for Cry Me a River.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember? Because it was isn't that the thing?
Yes, that's true. I forgot about that. And I guess there's these lyrics in the song. It's like now he's doing to you, like now everybody knows and you don't. You know he's doing to you what you did
what
to me.
What song is this?
It's on his new album that Future.
Oh, sexy back
song.
Well, you know what I've never. Yes, we need to interview Britney. Thanks, Scotty. Hook that up today, won't you? Moving on. You know, the thing is, it is tempting to think that we could actually get Kevin Federline now because that guy is so desperate to sell copies of that record because he knows he's not. That guy is so desperate to get his side of the story out, to have people love him. It does. I mean, I'm not saying we could do it, but I'm saying that if there was ever a time that you're going to be able to book Kevin Federline as a guest, like this month is it. Well, you know what I have never heard, at least, is that crazy song that is Kevin Federline featuring Britney Spears. Have you heard it?
Mm-mm.
It's on his record. I mean, I should have by now, not that I advocate the illegal downloading of music, but I should have gotten a copy. I can't believe that I haven't gotten a copy of that Kevin Federline record yet, just to sift through it to see if it's terrible.
And the other big Britney news, she deleted K-Fed as a friend today.
On her MySpace? Really? Yeah. Is that true?
And took down all the postings that had anything to do with his new record.
Is that like when you go to see, when you meet like your favorite rock star backstage and he's a jerk and you go home and rip down his posters? Mm-hmm. You stupid Kip Winger! You just pull him down off the wall.
Totally drunkenly deleting someone from MySpace is the best thing ever.
I'm gonna ding you on a mic, not babe. All right.
And there's this girl in Bremerton that I ran into who's just a total bitch to me, so I just went home and deleted her.
I got the weirdest thing. Okay, let me ask you what this means, Sarah. On MySpace, in my friend requests, somebody had requested to be, you know how.
Profile deleted.
Okay, and I hadn't gotten around to approving. They'd stacked up because it had been a couple weeks since I'd approved anybody. I do it like once every week or so. And there have been like 10 people and sitting in my, you know, friend request. And I hadn't done anything. And I'm like, well, I'll do it on Saturday. I come in. One of them is still in my, it's still in my friend request. But it says this profile deleted. And yet the online icon is there. So it's like the profile has been deleted, and yet the online thing is there.
Did you click on the profile?
I click on it, and I can't view anything, but it claims that whoever it is has logged in.
It's all wonky. It's, they're not there.
All right.
You're kind of crazy.
I'm just saying. I'm not crazy. You're crazy.
How
crazy
be there if they don't exist?
Your new name is Sarah Emerson. All right, here's Tim Riley.
A man with mischief afoot entered a home and licked the toe of a sleeping woman over the weekend.
Yeah.
He licked the mischief woman's afoot. Big toe while she was sleeping early Sunday. The woman was sleeping next to her husband, who chased the suspect from the house and down the street. He was wearing a black hooded sweatshirt, white shorts, and white shoes.
Yeah, all right, so there you go. Mischief afoot. He's Tim Riley.
We don't have a guest this half hour?
I'm sorry? No. No. In fact, we have McCarthy. No, because...
I was waiting this half hour for it.
Oh, no. Because, no, I should have clarified that. We have traditionally had a CNN guest at 12:30.
Yeah.
But the last few days, we've been booking them at 1:05 just because the CNN guest... What would happen is, almost invariably, the CNN guest would call, and they would either call a few minutes late... Or we would be running a few minutes late. The CNN person gets on at around 12:38. That goes 10 minutes, and by the time that's done, we only got time for like one story. And then the noon news hour really just becomes like the noon news 20 minutes. And I'm really trying to get away from that. I'm trying to keep the show. I know that this will just encourage peals of laughter in the assembled masses listening, but I am trying to stay on schedule so we can get stuff done on the program, because it's just inexcusable and retarded that we would add a fourth hour to the program and that I would still not be getting to things. It just makes me look like a mental defective, which I am, but I don't want to look like that.
Well, let's do a Jackson watch.
Here's your Jackson. Yeah. Oh, I know this, too. Here's your Jackson watch.
Michael Jackson fans are seeking refunds on their tickets for the World Music Awards. Entry to the Music Awards show cost about $200, and fans say they were misled by promises that Jackson would perform a version of his hit single, Thriller. I Am Furious, said one, who spent around $400 from a scalper ticket. I feel like I've been ripped off. Jackson only sang a couple of lines of We Are the World before leaving the stage. Thriller was performed by Chris Brown. It was a huge anti-climax, said a Londoner. I just walked off. I saw him with all the kids around him, and I thought, I'm not having any of that.
Genius. And why We Are the World? I mean, are people clamoring out there to hear Michael Jackson singing We Are the World again?
Hmm.
All right. And the weird thing is that Michael Jackson, and I can say this, I don't think this is, it's just strange for me. Lara has this friend, and I won't name who it is, but Lara has a friend who now bears, it's not so much that this friend, that he looks like Michael Jackson, it's that with every passing day, Michael Jackson looks more like this guy that Lara is friends with. And the whole thing kind of weirds me out, and it's become very difficult to see him publicly or have dinner with him, because I sit across the table from him, and every time he speaks, I just hear Michael Jackson's voice coming up.
People were expecting something significant, but he didn't perform at all, said one. When the lights went on, I saw people's faces, and they were like, is that it? I should have stayed home and watched it on television. We should definitely get a refund. The organizers of the World Music Awards had announced that Jackson would recreate his groundbreaking Thriller video. While picking up the ceremony's Diamond Award for his contribution in music, it's his first performance in a long time, said the spokesman, and it's something of a comeback, if you like.
It's not a comeback in any way. There you go. There's your Jackson watch for Thursday, right here on the Rick Emerson Show. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
What's up, brother?
It's payback time. I finished my lunch finally, and I've got two stories for you.
Okay, that's... Would anybody believe me if I said that we honestly didn't time it so that these horrible stories happen during the lunch hour? It just is happenstance. It just seems to be the way that it works.
I gave Scotty the opportunity to reject me, but he liked the stories too well.
All right.
Okay, my friend Katie would always go to the cafeteria at lunchtime, get a carton of milk, and never use a straw.
Okay.
One day she's drinking milk out of the spout, gets something big and slushy in her mouth, and she pulls it out. It's a rubber.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, I knew you'd like that one.
Oh, and first of all, Katie got something big and slushy in her mouth is the phrase of the day now. That has now superseded Sarah's... superseded Sarah's everybody secretly loves throwing up. Katie got something big and slushy in her mouth.
Oh, God. Ugh.
And then, okay, no. You can't just say that she was drinking milk and a rubber was in it and then move on.
Okay, I thought you wanted me to hurry. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, well, I mean, yes, but we have to dwell on this for a second. So, because, I mean, what happened? What happened then, as what's-his-name says in Stand By Me? I mean, what happened?
She gagged, but she didn't throw up.
After she gagged, but didn't throw up after she got something big and slushy in her mouth.
Yeah, that turned out to be a rubber. Hopefully not used.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Did she go up to the guy and say...
Well, usually if it's out of its package...
I don't have any more of the story. She just told that at a party one night, and that's all we got.
That's the way to get a guy to home with you. Yeah. By the way, I mean, that's just... okay.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it really is. I mean,
it's
because
horrible. That simultaneously, you wish you hadn't heard it, but you're glad you did.
No, you just wish you'd been there, you know?
Yes.
Well, I seem to be having trouble swallowing. And then they go, that's like when the dentist, you know, said, well, here's your problem right here. And he pulls out like a huge magnum or something out of your mouth. All right.
Yeah.
Second half?
Okay, second part. Recently, my ex-roommate had a party, and a bunch of dudes in their 20s were there getting drunk. And they had a big coffee can that everybody put their cigarettes out in.
Yes.
So they had this coffee can. It was like half full of cigarette butts. And one guy says, hey, man, I'll give you $40 if you'll cram all the cigarette butts there in your mouth that you can get.
Did he have to swallow them, or did he just have to cram?
No, he didn't swallow them. He just had to get all of them in his mouth that he could.
Okay. And did he?
Yes, he did.
Did he hurl?
I don't think so.
Okay, gosh.
I think that he was too. Everybody was just rip-roaring drunk. I'm sure you don't know anything about that.
That seems like that would increase the likelihood that you would just hurl. You know what I mean? You pound it out of your brain, and then let me just tell you right now. We could talk, and we will not do a whole show on this right now, although we could. Most disgusting smells ever. Let me say this. I'm saying for me, the two worst, Sarah, worst smell on earth? Go. First thing that comes to mind.
Whenever I'm riding my bike, I smell like vomity applesauce. Down in,
By the Darigold plant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly. I thought you were going to say you smell like vomity applesauce.
No, I smell that, and it's just like, because you're like, ooh, applesauce. Ooh,
I know exactly the place you're talking. I ride by there every day. Tim Riley, first thing that comes to your mind, worst smell on earth.
A beer and a cookie factory next door to each other.
Have you experienced that?
Yeah, in Van Nuys, California.
Okay, I'm saying for me, and by the way, and I know exactly where Sarah's talking about, it's right as you go by. Is that Water Street? It's like when you go down Clinton, and then Clinton be go over the railroad tracks.
Right down there. There's also this horrible tomato soup vomit smell right in front of Dino's on Hawthorne.
I know that smell.
That is the worst.
I know that smell. Let me just say this, too, is finally, while we're talking about bad smells, and this is not even what I was going to say. And you know that we love Sabalas. I love that place. I really do. Sabalas Mount Table. We've had their listener party there. We're big friends. You know, Jason is a friend of ours. Jen Lane does her thing. We're big fans. I'm just going to say this, though. Occasionally, my bicycle regimen will take me to the top of Mount Table and back, and I go down, and then I go down Hawthorne. And I will say this. That bar smell... There's bar smell, and then there's Sabalas, which has a very distinct variation on the bar smell. And it's okay if you're in there, you're hanging out, having a good time, you're sort of surrounded in it enough that you don't notice it anymore. Like living next to a waterfall, you don't hear it after a while. But I got to tell you this, and I mean this in the best possible way. You can smell Sabalas about a block before you get to it. You're biking down the street, and it's like a, you know, breathing that fresh mountain air. You've been at Mount Tabor, looking over the city, seeing the reservoir, enjoying the birds and the air. And then you're biking down Hawthorne, you say, and then it's just sort of a hold your breath, as you speed by.
So,
yeah.
I've got a worse smell.
Okay, and then we have to be done with this.
Yeah, I'll hang up after this. You ever go to the bathroom and there's somebody on the toilet doing their business and smoking a cigarette at the same time?
Okay, thank you. Thank you, and we're done. All right, there you go. God bless you. By God bless you, I mean... Let's do one more with Tim Riley, then we'll break.
The Oregon International Air Show will continue, but with additional safety features. I mean, how could they have safety in the sky? One of the three houses reportedly hit by a jet... was completely lost.
They're going to coat Beaverton with a thick rubber
mat. Actually, there were two. The announcement came after an extensive four-month review following a fatal accident involving a vintage combat plane. Some changes in the air show scheduled for the weekend of August 11th of next summer will include minimal flight. How is that possible for an air show?
Really, and is there more minimal flight than when your plane takes off and then crashes right away? That's about as minimal as you can get.
And they will not be allowed to crash in residential areas anymore.
The white zone is for crashing only.
Yes.
Oh, God. All right. I'm so very sorry. And, you know, amazingly, we haven't even gotten to the worst story ever, which is right here. I'm going to fold it over so nobody inadvertently reads it. You don't want to read this. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Suddenly, Katie's mouth was filled with something slushy. It's 503-733-2970. Back after this, we'll talk to Ed McCarthy. Tim Riley returns next hour with more for the Ministry of Truth. We have news that hurts. We have, what the hell else do we have? Oh, yeah, final pair of tickets to Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. Tim Riley and I emceeing that tomorrow with the Schnitzer, the farewell tour. What else? Well, that's it. That's enough to tease for now. Yeah, who knows? We may get to other things. We may not. There's only one way to find out. You keep listening. It's AM 970 Solid State Radio.